much, Petu. Let's appreciate Petu. And let's also appreciate the worship team for leading us so well. And we are glad that you'd come tonight and just be part of this service. Just appreciate your neighbor. Tell them it's good to see you today. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's better to be in this place than to be in any other place. And let's appreciate the Lord. Yes. And for those watching us online, we are glad that you could join us today. And may the Lord bless you as we celebrate the goodness of God this evening. We give glory and honor to his name for watching over us. We are in the last week of this month, and we celebrate the faithfulness of God during this season. Let me start by mentioning that we have a mission taking place this weekend. We are moving to Karatina, a place called Mudhea in Madeira East. And we are reaching out to the community there in partnership with a church called Pefa in Mudhea and in a place called Ga Kaifei in Madeira East. And there are some of those missioners who will be going to that mission that are in this service today. If you are there, if you could stand so that we can pray for you. There are a number of them, maybe two or three or four. Let's appreciate them. They are representing 22 others. There are 22 others who are going to accompany this team. Let's just commit them to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are grateful and thankful that you have given us the commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And we are grateful and thankful that in obedience to this great commission call, a team of 22 will be leaving this Friday to reach out to the community in Madeira East. And Lord, we want to commit them to you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will go before them, that Lord will make every crooked way straight, fill every valley, level every mountain. And we pray that there'll be a harvest of souls, that many will be delivered from oppression, from depression, from alcoholism, from every form of confinement or infirmity by the kingdom of darkness. And Holy Spirit, we pray that as this team comes back, the team will come back with a harvest and with the sheaves of many that have come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Father, we dedicate them now in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we all say it. We are also having, yes, you can give a hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are also having the Love Nairobi Festival, which will be happening from the 15th to the 17th of September at the University of Nairobi grounds. From 3 p.m., there will be a session going on up to 12 p.m., ending at 8 p.m., 3 p.m., 12 p.m., and 8 in the night. The speaker will be Andrew Palau, a great evangelist, the son of Louis Palau. If you can remember Louis Palau, this is his son. We'll also be having gospel ministers, Don Moen, Christafari, Evelyn Wanjiro, and many others. So you're welcome to join the Love Nairobi Festival happening from the 15th to the 17th of September this coming month. Hallelujah. As I share the word this evening, let me say that the Lord is coming through for you. Do not give up. Do not lose hope. The Lord is coming through for you. Hallelujah. He is your shield. He is your shelter. He is your portion. He is your deliverer. He is the strong tower. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Let us put our trust in this God. He is faithful. I bring us a message titled Empowered Calling, A Propelled Passion, from Acts chapter 16, from verse 22 to 24. Acts chapter 16, from verse 22 to verse 34. Empowered Calling, Propelled Passion. And this is what the Bible says from verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. To guard them carefully. Verse 24. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell. You know, it is interesting that the guard was told to guard them carefully. It was like there was something that was being expected. And following that instruction, they were put in an inner cell, which means there could have been an outer cell, but these ones were put in an inner cell. Interesting. And fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul stood and shouted to him, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Father, we thank you and we are so grateful that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and that, Holy Spirit, you have an agenda for the church. You have an agenda for your people. You have an agenda for the nations. And we are grateful and thankful that the agenda of God has not changed. God is still saving. God is still delivering. God is still in the business of restoration. And God is still in the business of building his church. And the gates of Hades and hell will not prevail against God's church. Dear Father, we thank you for this word. May you anoint this word with your spirit. May this word find hearts that are receptive and that will respond to this word even for the glory and for the honor of your name. Father, we thank you and we honor you because we pray this even believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember Pastor Ambrose sharing early in the month about the theme of this month, Empowered Calling. And I remember his words mentioning that a call is not an event. A call is a mindset, a way of thinking. We are called to salvation. We are called to prosper. We are called to glorify God. And we are even called for greatness. Hallelujah. So the calling is not an event, but a state of mind that we need to understand that God has called us for greater things. And I want you to tell your neighbor, God has called you for greatness. Irrespective of your situation, God has called you for greatness. It may not look like that right now, but God has called you for greatness. I remember Pastor Simon sharing this Sunday about the sovereign call, the strategic call, the significant call. And I remember the question that he asked during the service, are you in the place where you are supposed to be? Are you in the place where God wants you to be? And I remember him sharing about the Macedonian call. You know, we must give space for the interruption of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We must give space for the interruption of the Holy Spirit in our programs and in our engagements. And we must also be able to pray prayers that will cause a sense of heavenly urgency that things must shift because we have prayed. Hallelujah. The Macedonian call was as a result of someone who prayed and asked God, we need change in Macedonia. There is need for God to move in that space and in that place. To the point where Paul has to be redirected from the places where he was going to because there was a sense of heavenly urgency. Hallelujah. Have you asked God in that place of prayer with that sense of heavenly urgency that there will be some sense of interruption because you have prayed? And I also ask, do you have space within your life and the way you do things to the point where you would actually give room for the Holy Spirit to interrupt your program? You know, the Macedonian call was a call that will bring into birthing the Church of Philippi. And from the second missionary journey of Paul in Acts chapter 16, moving to chapter 18, we see a lot of significant changes taking place because there was an urgency for God to move by the power of his spirit to minister to a church that needed to be birthed in Philippi. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you and I may declare what? What? We may declare what? The praises of he who has called us, where? We are called out of darkness and into his wonderful light. The calling of the church or the believer is to come out of the darkness of your life and experience the light of Christ and glorify God in that space. The amplified version says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises, the excellencies, you know, the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections. Hallelujah. I like the words of the amplified version. That we may proclaim, that we may herald, that we may declare the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who has called you and I out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is the amplified version. There is a calling out of the former way of living into a life that proclaims and declares the excellencies of God, his wonderful deeds, his virtues and perfections. You know, that is what we, the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, we have a mission, and the mission is to become the light in the world, in the place where you are, where I am, where we sit. We are the light that is to shine in our darkness, that the darkness needs to comprehend this light. The world, therefore, becomes our mission field. The believer is not here. We are not here just to work, make money, drive good cars, live in a good house, get married, have children, and go to heaven. That is not the only reason we are here. We are here to declare the virtues, the excellencies of God, who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light, that we may bring others to know this God, that we may, others may know there is a God in heaven. Today, there are 5 billion people that still need to know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Therefore, we cannot afford to be completely complacent and hope that this will just happen by chance in the space and in the place where you sit every day in the office doing business. You are meeting different people. Could it be that these people you are meeting are the mission field that God has called you to reach out to declare the marvelous things that the Lord has done in your life? That there may be significant change, we are empowered world changers. And it has to begin from the space that we occupy. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. That is why we are the called out ones. We have been called out of the world, that we may declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. You are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14-16. We are also admonished from Romans 12:1-3, not to conform any longer to the patterns of this. There's a pattern in this world that wants to mold you so that you can be able to live according to it. There is a world standard, but you are a world changer. Hallelujah. The world is waiting for you, world changer. By the power of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring this significant change in the space and in the place that you occupy. Hallelujah. You are the light. The world is in darkness. You are the Bible. I am the Bible that the unbelievers will read. Why? They are not in church. Therefore, they cannot read the Bible. Because they don't know the Lord. You and I are the Bible they are reading. We must be this light that shines in the darkness that the darkness cannot comprehend. Empowered calling, propelled by God's passion. Are we where we should be? Are you still that light that shines in the darkness? Are we where God wants us to be? We must give room for the Holy Spirit to interrupt our programs, our lives. We must not live in such stringent ways that we cannot be able to change our way of doing things. You know, when God was creating us, He created us from clay that we would be moldable, you know, to become like Jesus Christ. Our lives and our pattern of doing things will be interrupted because God wants to recalibrate us. In this season, that we may align to the agenda of God. You know, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, and the harvest does not wait. There is a sense of heavenly urgency now than ever before. Times and seasons have changed. Media, give us Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine as dawn upon you and give you light. Wake up. Another version says, wake up from your sleep, climb out of your coffin. Christ will show you the light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, arise from the dead. It is time to wake up and arise from our slumber. Why is there a reason for us to arise? Media, give us Ephesians 5 from verse 8. From verse 8, Ephesians 5, the same text. Why should we arise? Verse 8 says, For once, you were darkness. But now, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Live as those who are natives, born to the light. You know? For the fruit that affects the result of the light consists in all godliness and righteousness and truth. You know, trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord and letting your lifestyles be examples of what is most acceptable to Him. Your behavior expressing gratitude to God for your salvation. Therefore, we must arise. And in our rising, let me just share, even from Isaiah 60, we are saying, arise and shine, for your light has come. Arise, hallelujah, Parklands Baptist Church, and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. You cannot afford to be dim when this is a key verse in this church. The empowered world changer must have an empowered calling driven by a propelled passion to impact his world. The empowered world changer must have an empowered calling driven by a propelled passion to impact his world. Let me share the 3 points. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, heavenly aligned, impacting the world. First one, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember that Paul is being led to another direction, because there is an urgency, heavenly urgency, by the power of the Holy Spirit for him to respond to the Macedonian call. In Acts chapter 16 from verse 7 to 10, Acts 16, 7 to 10, the Bible says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they pressed on by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let me ask, how sensitive are we to the interruptions of the Holy Spirit concerning our lives? How sensitive are we? Because this would have been an opportunity lost for a message and a church that was supposed to emerge during that season. But Paul, Luke, Timothy, and others were sensitive to the Spirit of Jesus. Are you and I sensitive to the interruption of the Spirit of God? There is a danger of not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit that would lead to us missing God's big picture concerning our lives. There is the importance of being able to hear the voice of God and hear it clearly. In the midst of the noise, the hustle and bustle of the day, we must be able to hear the voice of God and hear it clearly and understand it. In the Revelation chapter 3, the writer is saying, may those who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It doesn't mean that the church was not having ears. It seemed like there is a sense of urgency that we need to have so that we can hear the voice of God. The ability to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit are not depending on human knowledge and human wisdom. Ability to discern that this is God speaking, that I need to make a trajectory in the way I live. I need to start changing the way I'm doing things. I need to trust God more. I need to surrender to God more. Are you ready for the season of interruption? Because you cannot put God in a box. God is moving in this season and is going to interrupt a lot of things. Why? He is at work to bring a significant shift like he did in the days of Paul. The church of Philippi must be born. We cannot stop God from moving, irrespective of the situations we go through. God cannot be stopped. His purpose will not be changed. And we need to understand that the agenda of the kingdom will not be hindered by our complacency. God will come through, and his church, the church of Jesus Christ, will stand. We are talking about empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in Philippians chapter 1 from verse 21 to 26, we read about Paul, a man totally sold out for God. And it doesn't matter whether he lives or he dies. For him, his life is sold out totally, you know, completely, you know, totally, completely surrendered, empowered, calling, propelled by God's passion for me to live, he says, is Christ. He is my source of joy, my reason to live, and to die is gain, for I will be with him. He's already a dead man, so whether he's alive or dead, for him it is still fine. You know, totally sold out for God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6 to 16, We talk about Paul saying that when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, there is a sense of vision. There is a sense of comprehension that the Holy Spirit releases. What eye has not seen, for it is 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. Yet we do not speak among those spiritually mature believers who have a teachable heart and a greater understanding. But it is a higher wisdom, not the wisdom of the present age, nor the rulers and leaders of the age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, to lift us into the glory of his presence. Yeah. None of the rulers of this age recognized and understood this wisdom. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, can we read this together? The things which the eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for who? For those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him and gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. These things that eyes cannot see, these things that mind has not been able to comprehend, God has revealed them to you, to me, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must get to the place where we see what ordinary people cannot see. Comprehend things which ordinary men and women cannot comprehend. And have hearts that are receptive to the deep things of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is much more than what we experience today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the second point. We must be heavenly aligned. We must be heavenly aligned. The will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Father desires, no matter what the devil tries to do, nothing, nobody, no system, no politician or political force, not even the devil, will stop God's agenda. We must align to the agenda of heaven. Hello, church. The will of God will stand. The will of the Father as he desires in heaven will come to pass. Nothing, nobody, no system, no politician, no political force, not even the devil will stop the agenda of heaven. In Acts chapter 16, verse 13 to 15, we read about a lady. There was need for the church of Philippi to be born. And there was a lady there who was supposed to incubate the birthing of this church. And I remember Pastor Simon sharing about this lady called Lydia. There was a bigger scheming of things that there needed to be born a place for the birthing of this church. And God had chosen a lady by the name Lydia, that she would be the one to incubate the church during that season. Acts 16, verse 13 to 15. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate. I want you to imagine that they are trying to understand, Paul and the rest are trying to understand what is God doing in the scheming of things. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. You know, by the river, at the gate by the river. And they were expecting to find a place to pray. Look at the way God charts the destiny of people. I sat down and began to speak to, started speaking to women, to the women who had gathered there. God has strategically placed Lydia. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer of purple clothes. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She needed to receive Christ as her personal savior so that this church in Philippi would be born. God is very strategic, leading Paul to meet this woman because there was need for the church of Philippi to be born. It continues to speak about the deliverance of a fortune teller. The same chapter, verse 16 to 24, a lady was talking about Paul and continuing to prophesy and to speak in divination about what Paul was doing. She also needed to be part of this congregation. But there was a need for her to be delivered from that spirit of sorcery and divination. Church, I don't know whether you are following me. There was a lady that needed to know Christ, that through her knowledge of knowing Christ and salvation, that the church of Philippi would be born. Very strategic. There was also this fortune-telling girl, and there was trading at that point where she would tell people about what is happening, and there were traders who were getting money from her. There was need for shifting things in Philippi for the church to be founded. There was no more trading, no divination, no sorcery, no witchcraft, and every spirit of money changing. Hallelujah. The foundation of the church will not be found where we have money changers, people practicing divination, sorcery, and witchcraft. God will deal with them. No spirit of sorcery, no spirit of divination, no spirit of manipulation, no spirit of money changing, no spirit of mammon, no spirit of Babylonia will stand the move of God. Deliverance of God's people must happen. The church must be born. Hallelujah. The fortune teller must be part of this congregation. Because there are those who are gaining, making money from her oppression. Paul needed to preach the message of deliverance, that this girl would be part of the congregation. And those making money from her would see that their business is over. And they needed to be convicted of truth, that they would be part of this congregation. And that was not all. The conversion of the jailer, where Paul and Silas, because of what has just happened, have to be put in prison. They were in prison because the Philippian jailer and his family needed to receive Jesus. The church had to be born. There were specific people that the Holy Spirit wanted to bring into the fold. Lydia, the deliverance of the fortune-telling girl, and the conversion of the Philippian jailer. God has an agenda, and his agenda will stand. We must align to God's heavenly agenda. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, Paul is talking about pressing on. We must press on. We must push. Philippians 3, 12 to 14, Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and striving towards what is ahead, I, church, I, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. We must push on. Paul is saying he has not attained it yet, but he's pressing on. Paul has written almost half of the New Testament, but he's still pressing on. Saying he still needs to press on. He still needs to know this Jesus. And yet, he has done so much. Is Paul saying he needs to press on towards the high calling in Christ? How much ought you and I not to give in or to give up, but to press on? The understanding for our placement to the heavenly agenda must be that placement that helps us to understand that we have a kingdom assignment where God has placed us to make a difference for Him. Whether it is within the family setting, whether it is within your business circle, whether it is in the office where you sit, whether you are in school, in politics, wherever you could be, you have a higher calling than just being in that office. When you have a greater view of Jesus, when you have a greater view of Jesus, nothing else around you matters. You will praise Him in the jailhouse because He's bigger than your circumstances. When you have a greater view of Jesus, when you know that He died on the cross for you, when you understand that He's seated at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority, then you will be able to praise Him irrespective of your circumstances. The writer of the song says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of the glory of Christ. May the light of the glory of Christ shine in the dimness of your situation, that you may know that He is able to minister to your need regardless of what you face tonight. And finally, the empowered calling must impact the world around us. The empowered calling and our propelled passion must impact the world around us. Are we where we should be? Are we where God wants us to be? The empowered world changer must have an empowered calling driven by a propelled passion to impact his world. The jailer, the magistrate, the officers witnessed of what the Lord had done in Acts 16:34-40. In Acts 17, the Thessalonican church was born. In Acts 17, they talked about verse 6, the people who turned their world upside down have come here. In Acts chapter 18, the Corinthian church was born. The Ephesian church was born. The Galatian church was born. And the ministry impacting the world continued. God had a bigger picture for us. The harvest doesn't wait for the harvester. How are we impacting the world around us? In 1 Corinthians 9, media, if you can give us 1 Corinthians 9 as I wind up, 1 Corinthians 9:22-23, Paul talks about becoming all things to all men that he may win some. He says to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all people that by all possible means I might save some. Becoming all things to all men that he may save some. We must impact our world. In Acts 26, from verse 25 to 29, Paul stands before the king, before King Agrippa, and he talks to him about his life, and he says, "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus." Paul replied, "What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know you do," Paul says. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Look at Paul's response. Paul replied, "Short time or long time, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Look at that propelled passion. That it didn't matter. He was not intimidated, even by the king. And he said, all can receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Our time and our season is now. Sometimes I ask myself, what will be our excuse, or what are we going to say? When people like Paul had such passion to serve God, it costed them everything. What are we really going to say about our season and our time? I believe this is Africa's time. Hallelujah. This is Africa's season. This is our time. We cannot be complacent. We must arise and make the difference in the spaces we occupy. It begins with you. It begins with me. It begins with us. The empowered world changer must have an empowered calling, driven by a propelled passion to impact his world. Father, we thank you. We thank you that your agenda for the salvation of all is an agenda of urgency. And Father, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will quicken me, you will quicken us, like you quickened Paul, like you quickened the Macedonians to pray, that there will be a sense of urgency, that you will turn around the mind and the setting of Paul towards this heavenly urgency to reach out to the Macedonians. Father, we pray that there will be a sense of urgency in our hearts to fill into this big picture of things at such a time as this. That Holy Spirit, you would visit us individually, collectively, as the Church of Jesus Christ in Kenya, in Africa, in this world, in this time, that we shall be aligned to the agenda of heaven and have a sense of heavenly urgency to impact our world. Oh Lord, give us the wisdom we need. Give us the discernment we need in every space we occupy. Be it in our homes, be it in our workplaces, be it in our business undertakings, that we shall understand there is a greater scheming of things, and you have an agenda for us to impact our world. Holy Spirit, give us this burden, to see there is an urgency to share this message, even with our deeds, even with the way we do things, in the manner in which we live, and to know that we are the light that the world is looking for to bring the change that is much needed in the spaces we occupy. Holy Spirit, have your way, because you have prayed, even believing and trusting in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his countenance shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bring wholeness in your situation. If there is a heaviness of heart, if there is any situation you are going through that has become darkness to you, if you are in any prison feeling incarcerated because of the situations you are facing, may the God who came through for Paul and Silas come through for you, because he is alive today to minister to your need. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom, shalom. God bless you.